Hello, podcasters. Welcome to another edition of Pickup Truck Plus SUV Talk. I'm your host, Tim Estradol, joined once again by the fabulous Jill Simonello. Hey, Jill.
Good morning. How are you doing today?
We are fantastic. It's a Monday. Sorry we were a little bit late on the podcast last week. We were traveling and zonked. I was jet lagged like crazy. It was bad.
Yeah, I did a stupid thing last week in that I went from Chicago to California. Back to Chicago, back to California, back to Chicago.
Yeah, I think you literally at one point were spending more time in the air than you were in the ground sleeping or something. It was kind of crazy.
Yeah. So my own stupidity, I scheduled a Midwest Automotive Media Association meeting on Wednesday before I accepted these programs and just didn't even, you know, my fault. My hashtag was I did this to myself.
Well, but the air miles, you have to get the air miles here you gained.
Yeah, and a cold. So I'm wearing a hat again today. But yes.
All right. Let's dive into the podcast. So we're going to make one little change. We'll keep adjusting the podcast. If you want to see video of the podcast, we're going to do individual segments of the video. Those will be up later on this week. If you want to just listen to us, well, keep listening because we'll be right here. Coming up, she's leaving today. She's flying to France to do some juggawah. How you can learn how to say that again, aren't you?
No, I already know how to say it. You're the one who needs to learn. It's Jaguar.
Okay, apparently I need some brushing up to do. And then next week is the big show, Chicago Auto Show. And I'm saying that because it's a big show for Mama, which Jill's the president. And also, Toyota is teasing the new TRD Pro lineup. If you will recall, and this is a little bit of a truck nerd, is that there is no TRD Pro in this model year. And the reason for that is, like Ram did with Laramie Long, Ram did this year, is they roll things out, they pull things off, they do different things with it. So, for example, this year there's no EcoDiesel with a Ram. Next year there will be, just because the way they roll out how much they can produce in factory. Toyota did the same thing. They pulled the TRD Pro back, they pulled it off the market so they could work on it. So there's new TRD Pro coming out. I think there's some pro and cons going on with some debate over this TRD Pro. And I'm going to get to that in saying that the TRD Pro is a solid truck. It's a great value. It's got a lot of great features. For the dollar for dollar is probably better than a Raptor. If you're just looking at just price point, Raptor is more of a beast of a truck. It's just going to destroy this truck off-road. But here's the con. Here's where Jill's going to come out on this, is that the TRD Tundra and the Tundra overall, and Tacoma, well, Tacoma not so much, but the Tundra overall is a really old truck. And you were at the Detroit Auto Show, and you saw the new Ram, the new Silverado, the F-150 has been upgraded, I think, every year for the last 3 years. I mean, the thing is always under development. So there's an interesting game to be played here. Toyota's playing the very cautious route, which is very Toyota. Very Toyota.
Yeah, but I mean, when you have a truck that's doing pretty well for them, it's kind of the whole, if it ain't broke, why break it kind of philosophy.
If it ain't broke, why fix it? Yeah. Why break it?
I had a friend in college, complete digression here, who wrote a country song, If It Ain't Broke, Break It. So that always goes through my head when I think of this. So shout out to my friend Carolyn who wrote the song. But why fix it if it isn't broken? I don't know. I mean, they're solid, they're reliable, they're Toyota. But there is going to be some really stiff competition coming up. I checked out the new 1500 with Jim Morrison at the show. I was doing some stuff with one of our local stations, and we did like this 5-minute long segment where Jim was telling us about all the new features and capabilities and things on the truck, and it's pretty cool. Coming from somebody who's not traditionally a truck person, there's some cool stuff there. So it will definitely be interesting to see, how Toyota expects to compete with that, if they're going to update soon or if just adding the TRD or, what they're going to do. But yeah.
It's going to be interesting. So it's a TRD 4Runner, Tacoma, and Tundra. There was a really long lens shot of them, like a teaser shot. I've driven all of them. They're solid. I think it's gonna be. I'm not sure what they're up to. That's what I want to know. So it's a very interesting play for them. And I agree, though. I mean, they're at capacity, so they really can't add any more truck production. So it doesn't make a lot of sense to really have a new truck per se right now. But they're gonna lose some customers. I mean, they're just going to. The newer trucks are just better. All right, so. Let's move. Let's move on. This is actually a great segue to basic truck, basical truck, right? Jill this week had the pleasure of driving a stripped down truck. This is she had a Nissan Frontier. Tell us about this. We call them a stripper truck because it is the complete opposite of fully loaded. Right.
It is the complete opposite of fully loaded, and you know it's funny because I did a Facebook post on it, and I called it weird. And I don't necessarily want to say weird in a bad way. It's just weird in that I have not seen any vehicle, not just a truck, but any vehicle that is this basic, probably since I first started writing about cars in the early 2000s. Because we are talking not only the key and the ignition, which to me is a little bit weird because you have so much with push-button start these days, but you have to key to lock the door. You have to the crank windows. So, crank windows and everything, manual transmission, 5-speed manual transmission, manual seats. It was one of those things where I got this and I was like, well, this is kind of peculiar. Not that there's anything wrong with stripped down or base. There are, as you're going to tell us, there are plenty of people that's exactly what they're looking for. But it was just very intriguing that any vehicle in any fleet would be that basic.
Yeah, I think maybe what people don't understand is it is weird for us to drive these stripped down models because manufacturers tend to send us the fully loaded, all the features, whatever, because they figure it's easier to not write about a feature just as we choose to than it is to not have a feature in the truck. So they just put it all in there and then you can kind of pick and choose what you want to talk about. So it is strange for us to get this, but people still buy these. This is still a big fleet buy. And there's some pros and cons here. And Jill alluded to it. I'm going to make a little statement here to the pros and cons. So one of the reasons that the pro that you would buy the stripper truck is it's less money, less interest, right? So you're going to pay less on the truck. It's a cheaper. You're going to, overall, it's a better financial decision than it is to buy a fully loaded truck because you can always add features.
Yeah, all in, like the truck that I'm driving, I think on the website it says it costs $18,000, but you know, with taxes, titles, dealer fees, everything like that, it's just over $20,000.
Yeah.
And that's without any incentives or anything like that. So, I mean, somebody who's buying this truck is probably getting it for something like $17,000, I would think.
Yeah, if you can do employee pricing, incentives, and theft, there's not a lot of margin in these trucks, so you can't do, there's not a big price there, but to your point, we hear complaints all the time that every truck's about $35,000 or so. Well, this is a $20,000 truck. And, you know, so you have the less interest, you're paying less money on it. You can add features later. You know, Catskin does leather interior. You can buy a new radio system. You can buy aftermarket power locks. You can buy aftermarket power windows. You can, and the thing is, you can pay cash for that, so you're not paying interest on that. So financially, it makes a lot of sense. You can also make it your own. You can take the stripper model, right? And you can add shocks. You can add bigger tires. You can lift it. You can do things to it because you don't have all the play with all the features. The last thing is there's less things that break. Right? I mean, that's always a truck argument, right? So roll-up windows, things don't break and they're really easy to repair. However, let's talk about the cons, is that when you add those features, it is actually more expensive if you were to feature everything out individually from aftermarket than you would buy a package. There's no warranty on aftermarket stuff after a certain point, right? So like, let's say you add power windows. Well, you know, there's no warranty on that besides 30 days or a year limited, probably limited things go bad kind of warranty. The other thing is if you lift it and do stuff to it, your lift kit will have a warranty to it. The truck will still have its warranty, but it's not a combo thing. So if you were to get it repaired, you have to do a couple different things to different places. And then finally, you have time invested, right? So doing all these features, adding all this stuff to it, hey, it's great. I've always go back to that Jeep Wrangler story I had a while ago where guys were literally buying this, driving it off the lot to the aftermarket shop, spending 15 grand aftermarket shop, and like 2 weeks later getting their Jeep. If you got time to do that and you have the cash sitting around, more power to you. But typically you're going to spend several years adding all the features you want. And so by the time you get done putting all the features you want into it, maybe ready for a new truck, maybe bored with it. You may be wanting something different. I mean, so there's some pros and cons there, but I do love stripper trucks. They're the core of what a truck is, and they take a while to bling, and then, you know, they're kind of fun to drive too. I bet you that was really torquey.
Yeah, well, you know, and what's really nice, you know, somebody on my Facebook page pointed this out, and whenever you get something that doesn't have a lot of stuff on it, you can really evaluate the vehicle for what it is, because you're not distracted by, you know, ooh, shiny object.
Right.
So you really notice how the truck drives. You really notice the features that it does have. So this is a 2018 model, which means that, you know, by 2018, it's pretty much mandated that you have to have a backup camera. So this does have a backup camera, but it's just your basic backup camera, but it does have the red, green, yellow lines, so you can see your proximity to things as you are backing up. And but really, at the end of the day, that's all you need in this truck. It is not, you know, a gargantuan vehicle that really requires you to have huge side mirrors, lots of sensors. You get a really good sense of the vehicle just by looking out the windows. And it has apparently been a while since I've driven like a smaller truck, because I just forgot that, you know, not every truck has to be difficult to drive. And I've been driving around mostly the city, running errands and parallel parking and backing into my garage, because I have a very narrow garage space. And while the turning radius isn't great, it actually moves very well. And again, you know, being able to see out the side mirrors, I didn't even have to do the 20-point turn to get into my garage. I was able to just do the smooth turn to back in. And so I've really been appreciating the total visibility, because I think that when you get too much tech, you tend to rely on the tech, you know, blind spot monitoring and the rear cross traffic alert and the, you know, all great stuff. All really great stuff, but having this truck just proves you don't necessarily need it if you're paying attention.
Yeah, I mean, there's an ongoing argument, and you'll see it in forums all the time, that the new tech is making us worse drivers.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And you just don't know how to drive as well as you used to because you're relying on the tech so much.
Yeah, well, and I think I posted a picture out there, too, of me driving with high heels. I had to drive it to a meeting last week and was in my high heels driving the manual transmission. And I was a little bit nervous that I would have problems going back and forth to the pedals, because sometimes the heels that I was wearing are a little bit, like, they slide into, the pedal will slide into the heel, and then it's a bad situation. But I, you know, the pedals were thick enough and everything was fine. But I've actually been pleasantly surprised. It's been a long time since I've been pleasantly surprised about a test vehicle, because you get something and a lot of times it's overhyped and you're like, aw. But, you know, going into this, I really didn't have too many expectations and have been I don't know. And plus, I just like driving manual transmission. How many trucks can you get a manual transmission on these days?
Actually, the Frontier is one of the few. The Tacoma comes in a 5-speed or 6-speed. And what's interesting about the Tacoma 6-speed, I remember talking to them in a couple years ago in Hawaii, the Tacoma manual transmission, the hottest market for that is the Northeast. Mm-hmm. States of New York and Pennsylvania and Maine, they say they sell a lot of manual transmissions up those states. And I asked them why, and they're like, I guess it's the people like it up there. It's a throwback thing. It's kind of interesting. That's where they get a lot of them. I don't believe the Colorado or the Canyon come in manual transmissions, and you'd be really hard-pressed to find a full-size truck in manual transmission these days. So yeah. They just don't exist. But the take rate on take rate is something they sell of that vehicle across the whole spectrum. The take rate on manual transmissions in mid-sized trucks is actually surprisingly strong, because it's the cheaper price point. They want that cheap truck. That's what that is. And so, you know, I remember asking Toyota about it as well, and they're like, we're going to keep building it. You know, customers still want it. So, you know, it's not a huge percentage of their sales, but they're like, we're going to still offer it. And another thing, I was talking to Sean Holman about it. He's the Truck Trend main editor, publisher kind of guy. And he said, you know, that manual transmission in some of those trucks is a hidden gem. Like, you just, because most journalists don't drive it. They're not in the press fleets. You just never see them. Yeah. I think the Colorado does come in a manual. Yeah, I'll get some comments on that later. But yeah, they're hard to find. But I just enjoy driving them. And it's funny because I'm watching you and you can't stop smiling about your experience driving this truck. Yeah.
No, like I said, it's just, well, and again, I feel like I've been driving too many large trucks lately, and they're difficult to get in and out of, and then you feel like you're driving a boat. But this, I won't say car-like ride, because it's definitely not a car-like ride, but it's easy to get in and out of. You know, usually when I have to get into a truck, I'm grabbing the steering wheel and pulling myself in, giving myself an arms workout as I'm trying to get in and out of the vehicle. But, you know, I almost can get into the truck like I would get into just a regular SUV and just a hip hike and slide in. So I don't know. It's just, it's a very, dare I say, refreshing change. I don't know. I've appreciated the manual transmission. Obviously, I live in the city. I don't have anything to haul, tow, put in the back. Well, I will ask you this. So the other thing that I noticed in this truck is it doesn't have any kind of a liner in the bed. Does that pose problems, advantages, disadvantages?
A lot of people will do spray-in liners anyways. So you can get a Rhino liner, a Line-X liner. I want to say they're several hundred dollars, but you can have that put in. But for a fleet truck like that, I mean, a lot of times what you'll do is you'll get the truck, right, and you'll not put a liner in it, and you'll just beat the hell out of the bed, right? You go to sell it, and you just put a liner in it over, and it covers everything up. I had an S10 that I didn't have a liner in, and I just beat it up, and then I went to sell it, and the guy, I said, sorry about the bed. He's like, no. He goes, we have a bed sitting out in the back of the shop. He goes, we just bring them in, put beds in, and screw them down, and we're done. And that's a slide-in liner. The spray-in is you actually have a spray-in liner. It's not that big of a deal. Fords and Chevy are notorious for going back and forth on this with the aluminum bed poking holes in, but, you know, I bet you 75-85% of people put a bed liner in anyways. You can put a bed rug down, which is it's a big thick piece of plastic, and it actually goes down in the bed, so that way things don't slide back and forth. But it's really not that big of a deal. It's not something that's mandatory. I've gotten some press vehicles from Toyota specifically that doesn't have them, because Toyota does not offer a spray and bed liner from factory. They do from their distributors. So the Gulf States Toyota will do it, but they don't do it from factory. And so something they've talked about having a factory option, but not everybody does factory options on spray and bed liners. And, you know, if you're going to go out and beat it up and just use the truck, might as well. It's just going to, you know, even if you get a little bit of rust in there, you can still just put a spray and bed liner over it and just prime it up, or cut the rust off and fix it and put a liner over it.
Okay.
So,
yeah.
I would guess this truck fit you pretty well, because I've been in Frontier similar like this, and it's not too tall, it's not too big, and it's easy. It's, you can basically reach across the other side of the other door, you can put your purse down, you can get to both sides pretty easily.
Yeah, you know, and I carry a relatively small purse. I don't have it nearby, but it's probably about this big, and it fit in the glove box. So yeah. If I wanted to run into the gym and take a class, I just stick my purse in the glove box and shut it, and you couldn't see it. Reaching across, probably not quite as comfortable for me. If I needed to roll down the window or something like that, I couldn't easily do that without stalling the car or something. But the seats are really comfortable, surprisingly comfortable. I have to tell you, my husband bought a Volkswagen GTI with cloth seats, and I have now had this new take on, because I was always a leather seat person.
Okay, but sure.
I am now fully appreciating and understanding the love of cloth seats, because they're just somehow a little bit squishier and comfortable for the long haul. Good seats.
And I would imagine they're not as cold feeling to you as leather is, so you probably don't need the heated seats on. You know, I'm sure it's cold. I'm sure it's still cold in Chicago this time of year, but yeah.
Yeah, give me the choice between heated seats and not any day, and I will take them. So luckily my husband's car has heated cloth seats.
Yeah. I just tend to think of these mid-sized trucks as being perfect city trucks. Like, you know, you could definitely see somebody in the city owning this Frontier, having a kayak in the garage or something, and they go out camping or they go out on the weekends to go out exploring. And they just, you know, this is their truck for that.
Yeah, well, you know, and the thing is living in a city like Chicago, I'm always fearful of what I call the Chicago bump, as somebody like parking and they bump into your car to physically see if they fit in the space. That's how they park in Chicago. And so, you know, and my husband parks his car on the street. And so I told him when we bought a new car in August, and I thought, you know, we're so new car to us, not completely new because of the Chicago bump. And we bought used. We bought something that was 3 years old. So, however, I could see you could buy this truck new and not be overly concerned about somebody. Well, first off, nobody would want to bump into you because their back bumper would probably fall off. But, you know, not being too concerned about the ravages of living in an urban environment.
Sure, sure. All right, let's keep it moving to something that was a little bit more loaded, but definitely still off-road capable. You were in California driving the Jeep Cherokee. The new.
I was. So, for those of you who are watching the video on this, I'm actually sporting my Jeep Cherokee hat today.
Okay.
The star has Jeep across the back, but yeah. So it was. It's a mid-cycle refresh, so this isn't a completely new vehicle. It is refreshed for the it was a 2019 model year, and what they've done basically is taken everything from the A-pillar forward and redesigned it. They got a lot of pushback on the quirky nose and the eyebrow daytime running lights, and some people really liked it, but it was very polarizing. And so what they were trying to do is take something that was very polarizing, bring it together, and turn it into something that was still a little bit unique, but not polarizing. So they kept the eyebrow look, but integrated into a full headlamp casing.
Okay.
So the headlights are totally moved up and different. And the added benefit of that is because the headlamps were lower. You couldn't get as good of a view of the road with them being lower. So by moving them up, it actually puts more light onto the road, so makes things more visible. So that's one of the bigger changes. Another big design change is the nose used to be kind of pointy, and now it's a little bit more blunted. So it has more of a Grand Cherokee look to it, and it looks a little bit more elegant, a little bit more aggressive. Can something be elegant and aggressive? I don't know. I think so. I'm going to say yes. That was like the big change, and the headlights are LED standard across the board. But on the inside, they changed they've got still the 3.2 liter V6 Pemstar and the 2.4 liter Tiger Shark four-cylinder engine. Those two are still your standard engines, but they've added a 2.0 liter turbocharged four-cylinder engine. And that engine is awesome. It is awesome. I spent the most time in it. We drove from the morning spot to the off-road location in that engine. And then we drove those, I believe, mostly on the off-road path. And then drove back in the 2.4 liter. And then I took a nice long loop in the 3.2 liter. And the 2.4 liter is loud and a little bit sluggish. But it's the base engine.
Okay.
And then the 3.2 liter is, you know, the up level of V6. It's fine. It's a good engine. But this 2.0 liter is quiet. It's smooth. It's fast. And it only costs you $500 more than the 3.2 liter engine. So if you want more power and you're upgrading to the 3.2 liter, it just is logical to me to spend that extra $500 and just get the top of the line engine.
Sure.
And that engine is available across all trims.
Yeah, $500 when you're looking at a 5-year loan is peanuts. I mean, it's a few dollars. That's interesting. Did they talk anything about the so eTorque is in the Pentastar V6 for the Ram 1500? but they didn't talk, but they have a 3.2, so it's a little bit different V6. Yeah.
Okay. And they didn't talk about any other engine option powertrains, because people tried to ask about hybrid, plug-in hybrid, because at LA, when they launched the Wrangler, they mentioned the idea of doing some other engine powertrain options, and of course their first rule about future product is we don't talk about future product. So yes.
Annoying. Let's see, what about the interior? Anything changed in there?
They did a couple of little changes on the inside. Basically, whenever you go to a Jeep program, they talk about the design philosophy, where you have two camps of design philosophy in Jeep, where you have the Wrangler camp, where things are more rugged and rough and tumble, and so the Wrangler and the Renegade kind of fall under that category, and then you have the Grand Cherokee, where the Compass falls under that, and then the Cherokee kind of fell under it, but it was in its own little thing because of its little quirky nose stuff going on.
Okay.
So what they've tried to do is push it more firmly into the Grand Cherokee design camp, which means that they have finished off some of the touches around, say, the air vents, and just kind of refined the interior design just a little bit to make it look a little bit nicer, cleaner, better, a little more elegant.
All right, yeah.
So
thumbs up or thumbs down? What do you think?
Thumbs up. It's funny because whenever I drive vehicles, I really try to get a good sense of what I like and what I don't like in a vehicle. And I try to think of both. You know, are there things that, you know, I don't love? And with this vehicle, I was just like, no, I like that. No, I like that. No, I kind of like that. No, that's not a problem. And so the best thing that I could come up with that I didn't like about the new Cherokee is when you plug your phone in and you have standard Apple CarPlay and Android Auto, when you plug your phone in and Apple CarPlay picks up, the buttons are kind of small.
Wow. Yeah. that's really stretching for something there.
I'll have to think a little bit more and see if I can come up with something else, but overall they did a really good job with it. I mean, base price is $23,000-ish. You know, probably be right around $24,000 with dealer destination fees. But if you want to go all in and add all the whistles and bells and four-wheel drive, you're still staying under $40,000.
Yeah.
So, I mean, pricey, but again, when you consider the average transaction price for a new vehicle is $35,000.
It's right in the middle of that mark, so, yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've enjoyed the times I've driven it, so I'm excited to get a chance to get behind the wheel eventually and do some off-roading in it. Or I took it snow goose hunting last year, so may do that again.
Well, so here's a feature that you will appreciate.
Oh.
Since you, Mr. Hunter. One of the interesting things is, in the back, you know, the trunk compartment usually has this carpeted floor base, right?
Yeah.
And you want to put something muddy in there, and you're putting down tarps or trash bags or something so that you don't put. So it has a removable floor that you can flip over, and on the other side is very cleanable vinyl.
Well, that's a good idea because, well, not just hunting, but dogs, right? So you put your dog in there and you don't want the dog hair everywhere. So bravo Jeep thinking that through. That's reversible. A lot of times you can buy them as separate units themselves. They got to replace it, and it's a whole aftermarket kind of thing. But that's cool that it has an option.
And it may be only in certain trims, because I feel I was looking at a up-level Overland trim, and I don't, like, I looked and I didn't think it was reversible, but when I was looking at, we were driving Latitude models, so when I was looking at the Latitude and the Latitude Plus, they both had it.
Yeah.
So it might, I don't know if it's an option or if it's just at certain trims, but I thought that was a really neat thing that they added. I mean, even somebody like me, who's a runner, I don't always run and dry pavement.
Right, yeah.
I very often run through mud, I run through slush, I run through snow, and, you know, take off your shoes and you worry about mudding stuff up, but you can flip that over, put them on there, and no worries.
Good to go. All right, speaking of going, you need to get on the plane. I need to get, I don't know what I'm doing. Oh, I'm working on my truck today, so I got to get wrenching. So thank you for joining us in this week's podcast. Make sure you follow us on pickuptrucktalk.com. Pickup Truck Plus, that should be talk on Facebook. We're on Twitter, we're on Instagram, we're on Pinterest. All those similar names. Jill and I, I'll have our Twitter handles on the show notes, and we'll see you down the road.